proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Offman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast. We have looked at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and the people mentioned there as heroes of faith. This is the second of a two-part session about David. After the Philistines killed Saul, David's predecessor, in battle, David had to contend with Saul's surviving son, Ish-bosheth, for a period of 7 years. Ish-bosheth had laid claim to the throne, succeeding his father. And while Ish-bosheth reigned in one area, David reigned in another area of Israel. The situation was resolved when two of David's partisans murdered Ish-bosheth, making David king over all of Israel. Note that David did not condone that act. Indeed, he put the murderers to death as a public demonstration that he was not involved in this crime. David sought to construct a temple for God in Jerusalem. God forbade him from doing so, but promised to establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Not a reference to Solomon, David's son and successor, but an allusion to Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah of the seed of David. Here was how David replied, quote, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken by thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said," unquote. No doubt David was disappointed that God did not allow him to build the temple. Nonetheless, he did not allow bitterness to dissuade him from trusting in God. Toward the end of David's reign, in connection with his sin of taking a census, he manifested his faith. As a consequence of this action, God offered him a choice of punishments. David replied, quote, "I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man," unquote. David chose to throw himself upon God's benevolence, rather than relying upon human mercy, again showing his trust in God. David also displayed his faith in God throughout a number of the psalms or songs he composed. In the third psalm, for instance, David wrote, quote, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me," unquote. In Psalm 4, he penned similar words, quote, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety," unquote. The 7th and 16th Psalms also mention David's trust in God. As a result of his faith in God, David declared, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" As we noted in the previous lesson, David did not always behave uprightly. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and arranged for the de facto murder of her husband Uriah in battle as a means of covering up public revelation of his transgression. But contrast David's behavior to those of his pagan contemporaries. Most Middle Eastern monarchs of that time would have done exactly as he did. However, they would not have had any compunctions about taking another man's wife and having that man put to death. David differed from such pagan kings in one important respect. When David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, he did not seek to excuse his behavior. Instead, he openly acknowledged his sin and asked God to forgive him. Moreover, he penned Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 as proofs that he had presented God a contrite heart and that God did indeed forgive him. Despite his sins, David remained a man after God's own heart. This is Mark Offman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.